During the time I was an inmate in my master's house, I tended his brother's horse and made myself as useful to the family as I could. At that time, I had nae acquaintances. I needed none. I wandered in the fields and on the toon moor alone and amused myself with my own thoughts. When the time arrived that I was to cater for myself, upon 4 and 6 pence, and afterwards upon 5 shillings a week, I went to lodge with me Aunt Blackett in the Puddin' Chair, and she, being a freeman's widow, kept cows upon the moor, and I was abundantly supplied with milk, which was the chief thing I lived upon. At this place I first got acquainted with Gilbert Gray, the bookbinder, and this remarkable, singular, and worthy man was the most valuable acquaintance and friend I ever met with. His wise remarks, his detestation of vice, his industry, and his temperance, crowned with a most lively and cheerful disposition, made him appear to me as one of the best characters of the age. In his workshop, I often spent my winter's evenings, and this was also the case with a number of other young men who might be considered as his pupils, many of whom he directed into the paths of truth and integrity. He rose early to walk. He lay down when he felt weary, and rose again to it when refreshed. His diet was of the most simple kind, and of this he ate when hungry and drank when dry, without paying regard to meal times. His great object was, by every possible means, to promote honourable feelings in the minds of youth, and to prepare them for becoming good members of society. In my attendance at the workshop of Gilbert, I got acquainted with several young men, but one of the most singular of these was Anthony Taylor, a glassmaker. He was a man of genius and observation, but the first interview I had with him was singular enough, and was owing to his having been told that I was the best whistler in England, he himself being remarkable in this way. We soon tried our respective powers, and had many a meeting afterwards for that purpose. He expressed himself highly pleased with the loud and powerful way in which I performed my double whistle, and I was equally so at hearing his inimitable shakes and quavers with which his small shrill pipe was graced. I came nearly up to the loud shrill tones of the fife and the deeper ones of the flute, and improved greatly in imitating him. But he could make nae alteration or amendment in his manner of performing, and with all his attempts could never whistle louder or deeper than before. We sometimes amused ourselves torn and torn about in this way, and both agreed that it was a great pity that whistling was not more countenanced and encouraged than it was.